Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name.
A very warm welcome to each of you who have tuned in tonight. We have had this program now for almost 2 years, and usually our focus is on relationships and marriage and family from a biblical perspective, and many people around the world have been helped and ministered unto and counseled through this weekly program. We are on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and people call in from all over the USA. And this is the power of technology, that even people from Africa and Europe can listen online. And so we are so very grateful for this opportunity to be able to bless so many, to help so many, to minister to so many. My name is Prophetess Mwaka Tuajira Yesu from Dallas, Texas, and I am greatly privileged and so honored to be able to do this well. This evening we are going to be having a very special program. All of us, of course, are still very shaken, very devastated and broken over the tragic death of the legendary Dr. Miles Monroe and his beautiful wife, Lady Ruth Monroe. We do have a lot of questions, and it's I'm still trying to recover myself, but then I just felt, you know, looking at their lives, and they were just such examples in the body of Christ. We wanted to dedicate this program to just share the many lessons we have learned from this outstanding couple. And we're going to open up the lines early by 10:30. We want many of you to comment, to share, because this is what Solutions is all about. But before I do that, before I call our special guests, I want to let you know we have a page on Facebook Solutions. Please like our page. Also, our ministry, Fresh Aroma International Ministry. Please do like our page on Facebook. Next year, 2015, Apostle and I are going to be celebrating 25 years of doing ministry in America. So during our Fresh Aroma Conference on Saturday, we'll be having a silver jubilee black tie dinner, and all our many, many pastor friends and co-laborers, spiritual sons and daughters, people we have known over the years are coming from everywhere. So we're giving you 5 months notice. We want you to come and be a part, come and celebrate the faithfulness of God, and let's just come and give God the glory. The dates for the conference are April the 16th to the 19th. The black tie dinner will be on Saturday, April the 17th at the Sheraton Hotel right here in Dallas. You can get all that information on our website, www.fresharomaministry.org, www.fresharomaministry.org. So that is our Silver Jubilee Ministerial Anniversary, and we're so grateful that God has kept us and preserved us and ministered through us, and we've been able to touch literally thousands through our conferences, through radio, through television, through revivals, through many, many outreaches over the last 25 years. And of course, with great role models in the kingdom like Dr. Monroe, it's been such a blessing. And so tonight, one of my very, very dear friends, Dr. Patricia and Dr. Jose Muzingo, we have actually been friends since 1990 from our Boston days. And Dr. Miles Monroe and Lady Ruth were their spiritual parents. And I just grew to love the Monroes because of the Muzingos. Actually, I first heard about Dr. Miles Monroe when I was in law school in London. My roommate was from the Bahamas, and she would go on and on about Dr. Monroe, and she had so many books, you know. And so I first began to hear about him in the 80s when I was a law school student in London, and I began reading, and I was just so inspired. You know, he had a great message on purpose, and, you know, fulfilling your assignment, and, you know, being focused on the assignment that God has given you to do. And I believe with the body of Christ, if there's anybody, he really poured out his heart, you know, teaching people about purpose. I love Dr. Miles Monroe for his passion that he had for the continent of Africa. Especially the last several years, he really focused so much on going to our continent and letting us know we were not third world, and we are the richest continent, the face of the earth, and we have so much to offer, and we need to rise up and take our position. You know, he was in my country last year, Zambia, and I tell you, the place was jam-packed, not just with believers, but with, he had such a governmental grace. And so our mayor was there, our governor was there, many government officials, many top entrepreneurs. You know, that is just the apostolic grace on Dr. Miles' life. He had that anointing to minister to government officials, to business people, to professors, to academic scholars. And so he was such a well-rounded man. And I know, of course, he went to other nations, Nigeria, Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda. Our friends, the Muzingos, hosted him last year and the year before in Congo. And just 2 weeks ago, he was in the beautiful nation of Kenya. And I tell you, it is just, everybody is just trying to to recover from this great loss. Of course, we know they're in heaven. Heaven's gain is our loss. We feel the loss. So before Dr. Patricia Muzingo comes, she has some wonderful friends who were also greatly and closely impacted by Dr. Miles Monroe and Mrs. Ruth Monroe, wonderful couple from Canada. And I believe they have called in this evening. Are you on the line, our dear friends from Canada?
Yes, we are.
Oh, God bless you so much. I was so happy to hear that there will be some people who are coming to join us. A very warm welcome to you here on Solutions.
Amen. God bless you too.
Yes, yes. Well, I understand from my dear sister and friend, Dr. Patricia Muzingo, that you interacted very closely with Dr. Miles and Mama Ruth. So please just share with us, because, you know, when a tragedy like this happens, you know, God always has something beautiful and something good that he will, you know, make out of it. And as much as we are hurting and broken and crying, I cannot even imagine the church in Bahamas what is happening. But we wanted to dedicate this program to learn, you know, from their lives, from their marriage. You know, this show, we deal a lot with marriage and family. And one of the things we see about Dr. Monroe, he loved his wife. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
they were everywhere together. Mm-hmm. Just great partners, a great team. And I know you had a chance to interact very closely. So, sir, you are welcome. Just share with us tonight.
Yes, good evening, everybody, all listeners. My name is Olusegun Iluyomade. I am originated from Nigeria. I lived in England, the U.S., and now I live in Canada. By the grace of God, I'm into ministry. I pastor. So the news came to me as a very shock, because I'm still lost for words, because I'm not yet over it.
Yeah.
Not yet over it. Yes. Right. Dr. Miles Monroe, I came across, met Dr. Miles Monroe through a tape in 1991. And as a young minister then, what I had, it was a tape called Male Female Needs Nature Purpose, and it blew me out, and I said, wow, who is this man? What kind of anointing is this? Because from the tape, you could feel the anointing. So from then, I started, any time I saw a material, I will either record it or something. So I started collecting. That was back in Nigeria. I started collecting. I was a very young man then. So in 1996, I moved to England. So when I got to England, I, of course, continued my life, you know. Then 1997, October 2. No, sorry, let me go back. 1997, earlier the year, I can't remember the exact year, exact date, month. He somehow, I got word that he was coming to Kensington Temple in London. So, of course, I immediately cancelled work that evening. And I remember I had prayed back in Nigeria that one day I want to meet this man. Lord, one day I want to meet this man. So when he came to England, I cancelled work. I went. I entered Kensington Temple. I went to sit at the top. I was waiting. I'm going to see Miles Monroe today. Now, all along those years, 3-4 years, I thought it was white. I had never seen his picture before. I just listened to tapes, you know. So when he came on the scene, and it looked like me, it's like, Jesus Christ, he's black. He's black. You know, so he delivered the word of God. And I remember so clearly, I went home feeling so so proud. Not that I am where I'm particular about color, but you know, amazed that someone of my color could be like this.
Yes.
It's like, wow. And not only does is he black, he doesn't even look American, he looks African. I can see him on the street and say, look at this Emeka, or look at this. You know, so I went home. That was it. I couldn't meet him then because of the church he was in. But in the next day, so later on that year, October 2, again, I got word somehow. Now, the church I used to go to in England, Jesus House, Redeemed Christian Church of God, Jesus House, somebody was meant to host Dr. Miles, but at the last minute, they canceled the hall they were meant to use. So this pastor was in serious, was panicking. So he called, Paul called my pastor then, because you have a very, very big facility. Can I host Dr. Miles Moyo in your church? So my pastor was quiet on the phone. He said, are you there? He said, yeah, sir. Did you say you want to host Dr. Miles Moyo in my church? He said, yes. He said, of course. So that was how he came, because my pastor was also one of his sons who had been following through teachings and tapes. So the church got the opportunity to hold him by default on that day for the first time. So I went. Of course, again, once I had a council work, I went. So when I got there, you know, and the man spoke, October 2, 1997, I remember so clearly, 2nd of October, you know. So the man spoke, and he's, of course, he's like, wow, this man. So after the service, he was standing in the lobby signing books and all that. So that was my opportunity. And I remember he was standing alone, humble, yes. No chips around his shoulder, just ordinary humble. And I was just amazed. So I walked up to him. I said, sir, my name is Olu Iluyomade. I had your tape, Male, Female Needs Nature Purpose in Nigeria, in a city called Ibadan, in 1991. And ever since that time, whenever I get the opportunity to see somebody your tape, I will beg the person, I will record it, label it, give the person back the original, keep my own copy. Sorry about copyright, sir, but I had to do that. Sorry about copyright, you know. And I pray to God that one day I want to meet you and say, sir, here I am today in front of you, meeting you. So, of course, he shook me. He said, yes, I remember that tape. So he shook me, he hugged me. We had a brief chat, and I left him alone, and that was it. You know, challenge me, live your purpose, you know. So then that was it. But it was divine connection, because later on that December, I met my wife December 27, 1997, and then that same December, I was appointed as head of protocol department in church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the following year, Dr. Miles came for our men's conference, because ever since that time, my pastor now began to, he locked in. He invited him to come and take the men's conference, because he said God has been speaking to him about doing a men's conference called Mandates. So he invited Dr. Miles over to take them, of course, and he agreed. He checked his diary, his itinerary, agreed. So, and me being the head of protocol, I was designated to meet him at the airport.
He's like, wow.
Wow. So I met him at the airport. And, you know, the amazing thing was, when this man of God came through the lounge in Heathrow Airport, he came alone, pushing his trolley.
Wow.
And immediately I saw humility. Other men of God will come with an entourage. You can't even go near them. He was pushing his trolley by himself. I can't remember that year if he came with his wife. I know other years he came with his wife. And one of the years when he came with his wife, as I met him, I went to take his trolley. He said, Olu, no, take my wife's trolley. He said, I can push my trolley myself. Go take my wife's trolley. So, of course, he redirected me to take his wife's trolley. So, got in the car, took him to his hotel, settled in his hotel, and of course, throughout his duration, that conference, I was designated to take him to his hotel, bring him to the conference, take him around, take him to dinner, take him to lunch. So we had time to fellowship in the car. So fellowship, so he asked me, who's your father? I said, you're the one, sir. It's you. So he said, yeah, you have to read my books. I said, yes, I've started reading them, and of course, listen to your tapes. And that was how a divine connection began. The next year again he came, I was the one that met him. Same thing. Then they told him that year I was going to get married. He apologized that he won't be there because he didn't know. But that when you finish, when you get married, that was in 1999, September, because the men's conference September. Then I was getting married in November. He said, when you marry, come to the Bahamas for your honeymoon. So I said, okay.
Wow.
I said, okay. So after the of course, after the marriage, I was broke. I couldn't make it. So the following year, year 2000, he came again. And so he was now asking me, "What? Why didn't you come to the Bahamas last year? I told you to come." I said, excuse me, sir, but by the time I got married and all the expenses, I didn't have any more money. So why didn't you call me? He said, if you had called me, I would have paid for your ticket. I said,
wow.
Oh, my God. So, but then later that year, we went for the leadership conference in the November of that year. That was my first time of going to the Bahamas. And ever since that year, we've been going for the leadership conference. Then sometimes we go for the ASAF conference in May. We go for the Kingdom conference in August and the leadership conference in November. Because God spoke to me and told me, this is who you can be in the future. God told me, look at that man. This is you in the future if you can walk in obedience and your purpose. So in other words, he was me in the next how many years? Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
So ever since then, I made it an annual pilgrimage to go for the conferences, and that's the only conference I go for, where he poured, and over the years he poured out into us. We became so close. In 2003, I called him from England. He told me, okay, when you come this year, you're not going to stay in the hotel, you're going to stay with me. So for a week, God gave us the opportunity to stay with Dr. Miles Monroe in his house.
Wow.
So not only did I see him, man of God from the pulpit, studied, and I saw him as a husband in the house, as a father to his children.
Wow.
As a husband that would enter the kitchen and serve his wife and cook a meal. You know, I saw all that for 1 week. You know, we were in the Bahamas for 1 week. We stayed with him. We slept in his house. I had a little daughter then. We saw all that. So over the years, God then, in 2003, I had my second born. He was a boy. So I called him. I said, sir, my wife just delivered a boy. Of course, he had known she was pregnant. And we're going to name him Miles after you. And he said he felt so honored that we should go ahead, given that name. You know, I think, you know, so we named him Miles. So my first son, which is my second born, his name is Miles. Then 2005, we had a daughter. We named her Ruth because of the impact of his ministry.
My God.
His ministry had had upon us. And ever since then, we have been very close to him. We're always in the Bahamas. He gave us all his numbers. Call me anytime you have anything. You know, if you're coming to the Bahamas, let me know. And he became our father. And he became a grandfather, because I have four kids. He became a grandfather to my children. And they call him Grandpa. They call him Grandpa. Whenever he comes, then we move to America. Whenever Dr. Miles Monroe comes around, he'll call us that he's around. Then we'll go wherever he's teaching. We'll go there. We eat with him, fellowship with him. He will see he calls them his grandkids. He will see them. Then we'll leave anywhere he goes. There was one time he came to France. We were in England then. He was having the ASAF conference in France. So we had to leave England and travel to France to ASAF to meet him. And the reason why I had to do that was because by then my son was a few months old and he hadn't seen him. That's Miles, my Miles. He hadn't seen Miles, the young Miles. So I took him to France to show him, sir, this is Miles, you know, 4 months old. So he carried him and I remember he prayed. He said, Miles, may you be greater than me.
Wow.
Then may you reach where I can reach.
Mm-hmm.
May you influence those who I have not influenced. So,
mm-hmm.
So every year whenever I see him, I put up some pictures on Facebook, you know, he hugs him, you know, my namesake, he hugs all the children. And such was the impact that he had that it not only affected me, it went one generation.
Yes.
To the next generation, because when we go to the conference, my kids will sit down and they will listen.
Mm.
Well, I remember one year, my daughter, she was like 10 then, she was taking notes. You know, she was taking notes. Such was the impact, you know, that he's had upon our lives. So when we had this news on Sunday, we were getting ready to go for the conference. We're supposed to be at the conference now.
Yes. The one in the Bahamas.
Yes, in the Bahamas, yes. We're getting ready to leave on Monday morning, Air Canada, straight to NASA, and then we take a connecting flight from NASA to Freeport. So when the news came on Sunday night, my wife was just wailing, crying on the phone. I said, honey, who is on the phone? My mind went, is it my father? Is it my father-in-law? So I took the phone. I said, give me the phone. Who is giving you some kind of news? So she handed him the phone. She said, it's Dr. Miles Monroe. I said, uh-huh, plane crash. Oh, my God. My mind went. Oh, my God. My mind went. So the kids were there, so they heard. So, of course, my brother-in-law, because I was in my brother-in-law's house, went on the internet. My sister-in-law went on the internet. My sister was around, went on the internet. They all confirmed it. So the kids saw it, and we put on the TV to BBC. It was on BBC that there was a plane crash in Freeport, Bahamas, but they didn't confirm any names. BBC didn't mention any names as at that time. So when my kids heard that, they started crying. My kids were wailing. They were sobbing because they knew he had gone to the Lord. So my sister-in-law said, look, Pastor, you have to console these kids because this could be a discouragement for their faith. Children don't understand. You know, we've taught them God can protect, God provides, the kingdom of God will protect you. They've had these teachings. Now they will question, why couldn't God protect Dr. Miles Monroe in his plane?
I know.
So I had to, you know, I hugged them, you know. So over this week, what we've been trying to do is make them understand that sometimes the purposes of God is more than what we can comprehend.
Right, right.
The Bible says, now we know in part, then shall we know fully. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, so it's not everything we can explain. So I told them, Dr. Miles has gone to be with the Lord in heaven. Is with Jesus, you know. Heaven is the home country where we all want to be. So I explained all that to them. But, you know, in myself, it was very discouraging.
Yeah.
I was just deflated. I felt sick. So the next day, I called their school. I told my kids, they're not going to school today, so let's absorb this. So I called the school. I told them, look, I told them that their grandfather in the Bahamas died, so they're not going to come to school today. We need time off to absorb this. So they didn't go to school yesterday. You know, they went today. So, but for me personally, I've just been at home. I haven't gone out. You know, I hardly, you know, change from my pajamas because, you know, I'm just, I can't believe it. I can't,
yeah.
I can't believe it. Whenever I go to the internet and I see his face and Pastor Ruth's face and Pastor Richard Pinder, you know, and Mr. Thorsten, the pilot, I was still talking to Mr. Thorsten in August, because I was there in August. We were still discussing. You know, it's just so hard to comprehend. And, you know, the question that comes to mind is why? Lord, why?
Yes. Yes.
But this is a man who over the years, he has touched the world. He has run the race. He has done the work. He didn't only do it. He did it thoroughly.
Thoroughly.
He did it thoroughly. You know. So, and I remember then, I used to be scared when I think about it. I said, God, the rate at which Dr. Miles Monroe walked, the rate at which Papa walked. I said, God, this man, I want him to be around till the 80s. I don't want him to finish quickly and then he wants to go home. You know, and that was always my fear because Papa worked hard. He was on fire for God. He was a ball of energy. When I'm tired, I drop him at 2 a.m. By 7 a.m., I have to be there to pick him up on the hotel. By 7 a.m., Papa is downstairs waiting for me. I am still dragging my feet. you know, because I went to bed maybe about 3:30 or 4 after I got up. Papa is downstairs waiting for me, fully dressed. You know, we ask him, what kind of anointing is this? So we saw all that, you know, all that, the operation of God in his life, how we allowed God to use him fully.
Fully,
to the fullness. And he lived a life of focus. And he maintained the focus, and he did the work, and he did it thoroughly. So when I look at the whole picture, in a way, I am not surprised. Oh, this man has finished, in a way, because he was so efficient. On the other hand, I don't like it because we're going to miss him.
Oh, my.
I wish he was
for another 20 years. Let me just interrupt. In case you are just calling in, tonight we are paying a very special tribute to a legendary general, spiritual father to many, an advisor to presidents, outstanding teacher of the word, phenomenal servant of God. Tonight we are paying tribute to the late Dr. Miles Monroe and his beautiful wife, Mama Ruth Monroe. You know, I've never seen in my life such an outpouring. You know, everybody's writing. Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Maurice Cerullo, Daystar, TBN. I mean, it's coming from everywhere. Even secular people, you know, are talking about just the kingdom principles that have transformed their lives. You know, everybody just feels, and it's amazing because of his humility. Everybody felt some connection, you know, all the people felt like he was a brother. This is how the mayor of the Bahamas described, you know, he says, my mentor, my friend, my brother is gone. What am I going to do? You know, and so everybody is talking about that humility, being down to earth. The Muzingos also told us the same thing, that in Congo, he really didn't want anybody carrying his briefcase or his Bible.
Yeah.
In fact, he was telling the pastors in Congo that, you know, you guys with your entourages, you're a little bit too much. You know, let's be like Jesus. Jesus was humble and simple. I just want to share some of his very legendary quotes. You know, when he spoke, I tell you, his statements were loaded. One of the things he always said was, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. And then he always used to say, the graveyard is the richest place on the surface of the earth, because there you will see books that were not published, ideas that were never harnessed, songs that were never sung, and drama pieces that were never acted. You know, he was such an apostle of purpose. You know, you just needed to listen to him one time.
That's
speaking
right.
about purpose, and I'm telling you, it just stirred you to find your purpose in life, you know, to find your assignment, to do something on the earth. He's been, you know, the people who are there mourning, they're saying, you know, what are we going to do without Dr. Miles? His joy was contagious. You know, as you said, my brother, he was full of energy, passionate, loving, humble, humorous. You know, he took excellence to another level, you know.
Yeah.
Very punctual, very professional. You know, he's among the few servants of God that could minister to business people, government people, you know, mayors, governors, presidents, and they would listen because of the wealth of knowledge and wisdom that he had. As I said, I personally never met him, but I've been in meetings where he was there, and of course I first grew to love him because of my school friend in London from the Bahamas, who that was her pastor, and you know, she shared all her books with me. Then of course from the Muzingos, who just, you know, shared so much, and we just grew to love the man. And so what you have shared tonight, man of God, it's so touching. You know, you've lived in his home, you've seen him not just at the pulpit, but you've seen him, you know, be a loving husband, a caring father. So what can you say to ministers of today? Because some people feel they're too anointed. They cannot go into the kitchen to serve their families. they're too anointed when they're praying. They don't want their wives to disturb them, or they cannot change their baby's diapers because it will contaminate the anointing. But from what you saw of Dr. Miles, can you just share about how ministry begins at home? Because definitely for Dr. Miles, ministry began at home. In fact, many people feared that one of his kids had also died, because I know he took his children everywhere. He loved his children and he wanted them to be a part of his ministry.
Okay, yes. Yes, before I let my, I would love my wife to speak on this, before I let my wife speak, you know, if you read the qualifying characters of ministry in the Bible, in I know there's one in Timothy, it's all about home stuff.
Right.
It will say, let the bishop be the husband and one wife. Am I correct?
Yes.
That is very common nowadays in ministry where people who have divorced, they want to continue. You know, so let him be the husband, or let him be a husband of one wife, a father to his children. It's all about home stuff that qualifies you to be a carrier of God's anointing and a carrier of the gospel. So if a man is not effective in the home, he should not be on the pulpit.
Right.
Because that's how God qualifies you, you know. So it's easy to come out in public and display some kind of anointing, which is not a problem. Even Satan displays anointing. But the character behind that person is the real concern.
Right.
When you leave that pulpit, what are you? Where do you go? How do you treat your wife? How do you speak to your children? You know, that's the main concern. So, if you're an anointed man of God, the anointing had better be also in the kitchen. Yeah, use that anointing to cook some stew. If you don't
like
know
that.
How to cook stew, then learn it. Because I thank God you asked this question, because I was discussing with another pastor there from Nigeria and his wife, and I was telling him, I said, look, brother, you got to be able to do some of this stuff. You are not brought up like that. That's why you're married. Let your wife teach you. Well, your mother did not bring you up because she didn't know, but they didn't bring me up like that, but I do it. My sister, I learned cooking by the Holy Ghost. Bible says he will teach us all things. So one day there was no soup in the house. I was staying with my cousin in Lagos. He had traveled to America. I was home alone. There was food in the house. So I went to the kitchen. I said, okay, Holy Ghost, let's talk now. This is starvation. Whether I cook this stew or I starve. And that was in 1995. I remember so clearly. I learned cooking by the Holy Ghost. Cook stew. Then when that one finished, I did it again. You always will say, put tomato. Put, you know, remember you used to see your mother do this. And I put it all together. So it is possible to learn. You know, an anointing begins in the house. An anointing begins. That is why a lot of times certain ministers, God cannot use them beyond a certain level. Because there are a lot of things that God sees, the way they treat, the way they... If my wife goes to work and comes back, she's tired, and I've been home, why will I expect her to fall into the kitchen and start cooking for me? A woman, and a lot of this we learned from Dr. Miles Monroe, a woman is not a slave. A woman is my helper. When God wanted to help man, the male man, he gave him female man, the woman, to be his helper. So when a man is crying, God, I need help. The help, you married the help 10 years ago. You lie on the bed with your help. I've given you help. She's important. Listen to her. Because God, sometimes, as a man, as men, God speaks to us through our wives. But many men don't recognize it. Because they put their wife down. They put her to one side. And you know, that business deal, that vision will have come to pass if you had listened to your wife 3 years ago.
Wow.
Because God was speaking through her. But because of your uptraining and sometimes a lot of African uptraining and upbringing, you did not listen. He's a woman. She doesn't know what she's saying. So, yes, you're anointed. But your anointing starts from falling in the kitchen, changing your son's nappy when he has food. Sweeping the floor. Changing your son's nappy when he has food. Sweeping the floor, cleaning the bathroom. By the grace of God, I do that. And there's nothing in it. And it's a fantastic way of showing your wife, a woman, that I love you, I appreciate you.
Yes.
Because I see it as tag team. If I'm doing something, my wife attends to something else. If I'm attending to something else, my wife attends to something else. So I get up in the morning and get the kids ready for school. If I notice she slept late, I'll get the kids ready for school. If I go out and I'm not back on time, she will collect them from the bus stop. Because it's teamwork.
Uh-huh.
The qualification for a bishop, a pastor in the Bible, starts with domestic, husband of one wife, father of his children, certain qualifying characters that God put in place. It begins in the home. Because if I cannot rule my home, how will I rule a church? If my house is in disarray, how will I come out and preach the gospel and direct the church? And by the grace of God, I saw this in Dr. Miles Monroe. I was there, I witnessed this. Dr. Miles Monroe falls in the kitchen. Dr. Miles Monroe is a good cook. For those who are listening to this, Dr. Miles Monroe is a good cook. He cooks. He cooks, and his wife. So it was a great lesson for somebody, for someone of that height and caliber who worked with God to that depth. His ministry, you said it, his ministry was on four levels: the church, to corporations, to government, and to academia.
Yes.
He was well-rounded.
Well-rounded. That's
very
the word. Well-rounded. Because,
very well.
You know, young people could connect to him. Ministers, athletes,
everybody,
children. It is amazing. Now, man of God, you know, Dr. Pinder is gone. Dr. Miles and Mama are gone. The youth pastors are gone. The two pilots. I mean, how do we comfort the body of Christ in Bahamas and in particular their church? I mean, if we are feeling it, what about the church that has lost literally a team of exemplary leaders?
Leaders, yes. Well, okay, I will let my wife mention that one thing I can say is he has trained them well. He has trained them well, and in a way he has prepared them well for this. And the Bible says one thing. It says, except a seed falls to the ground and dies. So with this seed falling to the ground now, it will cause an explosion in the body of Christ, because we all have to arise to our purposes, to live our purposes. Okay. Before I will let my wife take that part, because she was sharing one part. She was sharing with someone on the phone, because we have received so many phone calls from people from England, from America, you know, asking us, you know, we are so sorry, expressing their condolence. And I had her sharing some profound things with someone on the phone. It's like, wow, see that? Wow, Lord, I didn't see that. Before I let her do that, one year in England, I can't remember what year. Maybe it was 2003, 2004. Dr. Miles was in London for a men's conference. So from there, he was going to Ukraine to pastor Sunday at the largest church.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because he fathers that church. They've translated his books to the Russian language because of that church. Now, in Pastor Sunday's church, there are many ministers in the government there: Minister of Transportation, Minister of Education, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Minister of Industry. Many ministers come to that church. That sometimes when Dr. Miles comes, they'll be fighting for Dr. Miles to use their own official car. So the Minister of Transportation will say, well, last year, Minister of Education, he used your car. Let him use my car this year. You know, they will be tossing for whose car he will use, whose official car he will use while he's in town. Right? So Dr. Miles was at a men's conference. I personally, this is what I experienced. I witnessed this. I took him to the Ukrainian embassy in Nottingham in England, in London, to collect his visa on a Friday, because by Monday, he had to fly out to Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
So I took him to the embassy. When we got to the embassy, he went and I stayed outside. He brought out his United Nations badge. He went inside. So he came out and said that he didn't get it. I said, is that Olu? I said, sir, they didn't give me the visa. I said, what? I said, why? He said, well, they said because I came from North American area, from the Bahamas, I should have stopped in the U.S. to get my visa for Ukraine in the U.S. before coming to England, so that they will prefer me to go back to the U.S. to get a visa. And I'm speaking at the conference in Ukraine in Sunday at the largest church on Monday. So it means I don't know what I'm going to do. So he said, okay. He said, can my phone call Ukraine? I said, yes, sir. So I gave him my cell phone. He called Ukraine. So he called Pastor Sunday. He said, well, Sunday, I have news for you. You know, I might not be able to call him to the Bahamas to Ukraine on Monday, because, of course, you know, you could hear the little voice. Pastor Sunday asked, why? You're scheduled to come from, we scheduled you from last year. He said, no, it's because the Ukrainian embassy here will not give me a visa. They said I have to go back to the U.S., and if I'm going to go back to the U.S., I might not be able to come. I might have to come on Wednesday or something. He said, no. So they discussed. So Pastor Sunday said he would call him back. All right? So they dropped the phone. So he said, okay, Olu, take me to my hotel. So I took him to the hotel. And when we got to the hotel, phone call. You know? So the phone call. So by the time he got off the phone, he said, okay, Olu, we have to go to the embassy tomorrow. So he was laughing. So he said, they're going to open the embassy tomorrow just to give me a visa. So, and the next day, because it was a Friday, the next day was a Saturday. So I was like, okay, why? He said, when he got off the phone with Pastor Sunday, no, to talk about the level of anointing that God put on Dr. Miles Monroe's life, to speak to governments, you know. When he got off the phone with Pastor Sunday called some ministers who are members of his church to tell them, whichever minister is called, Minister of Education, Minister of Foreign Affairs, whichever one he called, that we're sorry, Dr. Miles Monroe will not be with us at the beginning of the conference. In fact, he might not even come. This one said, why? Because, well, the embassy in London refused to give him a visa. So they said, our embassy in London? He said, yeah, because they said he had to go back to the U.S. to get his visa, because he came from North American region. They said, who? He said, okay, Pastor, we'll call you back on this number. When you talk of divine connection. So those people, the ministers called the U.K. to speak to the ambassador. Now, Mr. Ambassador, if Dr. Miles Monroe is not in Ukraine, Kiev, Ukraine, on Monday, we have to talk. Your job could be on the line. Because we scheduled this a year ago.
Right.
So if it doesn't come, your job could be on the line. So the embassy, because he filled the form, now called us back. They say, okay, look, we're very sorry. Can you come tomorrow to come and get your visa? So the next day, Saturday, I took him to Ukrainian embassy. So he entered. Just a few staff. I didn't enter. I just stood at the door. Just a few staff. He entered. They granted him his visa, and they apologized that they didn't know that the government was involved, blah, 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 blah. So when he came out, he said, oh, look, they don't know who they're messing with. They're messing with the kingdom of heaven. You know. So, and it's like, my God, what kind of anointing is this? Because but the Bible says we're ambassadors. We serve a higher government, the divine government of the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Yeah, the supreme one that rules over all, that puts precedents in place and removes them. They decide, not us.
That's right.
So when they, and they try to clash with our government, of course, and you know the results. Only one party will win. So that's how he got the visa, the church service on Sunday. the session on Saturday, just service on Sunday and Monday, dropped him off at the airport, and Dr. Miles went to Kiev, Ukraine, to continue.
Uh-huh.
And for me, as a young minister, it's like, wow, when you walk with God, and you're carrying that government truly, honestly, sincerely, and thoroughly, the trust that God puts in your hand, and the favor that he places upon you, is beyond understanding. Because
uh-huh.
the Ukrainian embassy opened on Saturday, they apologized to a black man, because Ukraine is a very white, to a black guy from so-called third world country. And they gave him the visa, said, well, look, we're very sorry, we didn't know. You know? So it and I thank God for the opportunity to be able to work with such a man, to serve alongside with him, to listen to him, to be mentored by him, to be fathered by him. Now that he's gone home, he has left the baton in our hands.
Yes.
And we have to arise. We've received of God's mind through him. We have no excuse. We have to arise to live up to our purpose.
Yes. Yes. Again, if you have just tuned in, this is our weekly Solutions Radio, and tonight we are paying a special tribute to the legendary Kingdom Ambassadors, spiritual parents, literally to thousands, if not millions, mentors to many. They were such gifts to our generation, Dr. Miles Monroe and Mama Ruth Monroe. And again, as you heard me say at the beginning of the program, the love that they had for our continent just made me even love them all the more. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Miles and Mama were in Kenya, the beautiful nation of Kenya, and he had an interview with Jeff Koinange, one of the very, very prominent journalists in Nairobi. And, you know, it's almost like he was prophesying that this is he's going, because this is what he said, and I quote, "I want to challenge every Kenyan to go to the cemetery and disappoint the graveyard. Die like the Apostle Paul, who said, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and I have been poured out like a drink offering. There is nothing left. I am ready to die. When I die, I am planning to die empty.
Amen.
It is finished."
Amen.
You know, when I first told my mom who was in about this, she was beyond devastated, because she also loved Dr. Miles. And, you know, and just in the way it all happened with his wife, you know, they were on the way to the conference, you know, the terrible crash. I mean, she was beyond devastated. But she says when she listened to that interview, it really ministered to her that as devastating as this was, really, it's like he had given his all to our generation.
Yes.
And truly, if we love and respect and honor this great servant of God, we must receive this baton and run the race. We must fulfill our kingdom purpose and assignment. So at this time, I just want to open up the lines. I know we have several people on the line, and they are on. They love Dr. Miles. They've been in his meetings. They were impacted by his conference. You know, and it is a tragedy, a great loss. But really, Dr. and Mama, they gave it their all. You know, they never withheld. And so now we who are alive, what are we going to do? So I want to open it up. Pastor Nathan, our very dear friend, who's actually one of the founders of this Blog Talk Radio, if you are on, can you comment about that last statement in Nairobi, Kenya, that when I die, I want to die empty. In other words, I want to die after I've given my all. Given my best. Ms. Shiko, is Pastor Nathan on the line?
Or yes. Good evening, Prophetess. It's just humbling and a challenge. You know, I'm even failing to find the words to say, but listening to Pastor Olu, I'm just saying to myself, what an impartation. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, what an impartation. And just very briefly, Prophetess, I was sitting in Dr. Mouse's meeting in Lusaka at Mlungushi Conference Center. And very few people actually know this testimony about me. And, you know, he made a statement and he said, I know the issue with us African or black people. We think that, you know, the anointing is everything. And the ministry or church is the only place where we let people who are not qualified stand on the pulpit and open the Bible.
Mm,
He said the anointing is good, but it needs to be packaged. I'll never forget those words. He said the anointing is important, but it needs to be packaged with information and education. So he said, all you my African brothers, and you see, at that stage, I was struggling. I had all the papers and acceptances to come to the U.S. for school, and I just ignored it. I said, I don't need this. I have the anointing, and I am called to do ministry. When he said those words, Prophetess, and my wife had already told me, if God wants you to do this, you can't fight it. For me, when I heard Dr. Mao say those words, that was it. I stopped fighting it, you know, and got the rest is history. Jumped on the plane. Here I am in Dallas, Texas, and you know how many degrees I have now. It's because of that statement he made.
Uh-huh.
And you see, I realized, I said, really, we need to reproduce ourselves. About that statement about dying empty. And last night we were chatting, and our technical person, Shiku, we were chatting, and I told her, I said, hey, I keep hearing about this interview with this man in Kenya. Can you send me the link? So she sent me, and I listened to that, him talking about death. And, you know, when I listened to that, just like you said about Ambassador Mom, listening to that, when I listened to that, I said to myself, wow, this man reached a place where he realized that he has emptied himself. He has emptied himself. And the responsibility remains with us. There's so many, if I can use the expression, there's so many little mouse man roles that he has reproduced of himself. Those of us that have remained, it's for us, Dr. Olu, and Pastor Olu and everybody listening, to run this race and reproduce ourselves like he reproduced himself in us. That's what I'll say, Prophetess.
Thank you so much, Pastor Nathan, for your contribution. Pastor Olu, is your wife on? I know she too was greatly, greatly impacted and mentored by this great general. We would love to hear from her.
Yes, she's on. Hold on for her.
Thank you. Shiko, do we have any callers after Mrs. Olu?
Okay. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Olive. I'm Olu's wife. Yes, concerning our father's passing. Well, they call me a hopeless optimist. But in the midst of mourning the loss of our father, because we're human, in the midst of mourning him, I have also been encouraged. Yes, a few people have spoken before me and said yes, that, you know, definitely this is the time for us to step up and continue the race. Mm-hmm. But even before Papa Mal's passing, I had already sensed that we're in a new season, you know, at least for my husband and I, and I noticed for a lot of people around us that we're in a new season, and that even when it comes to ministry, you know, our spiritual work on this earth, that, you know, we need to step up and move forward. But what I didn't know was that this new season would involve, you know, us losing our father in the Lord. You know, but, you know, as soon as not too long after I heard the news, so let's say within the hour, you know, it just came to me that it is really time for us to step up, you know. And I think later on I've been dwelling on it, and later on the scripture where the people were asking Jesus why his disciples were not fasting and praying, and he said, it's because they are with me. I'm with them. You know, when I leave, then it's like the real work starts for them. You know, they have to fast, they have to pray. And I believe that that's what has been happening with us, those of us that have received from him, been receiving from him. Yes, not that we haven't been doing any work, but still, at the back of our minds, we feel, oh, you know, Papa Miles, he will do all the work. He will go to Australia. He will go to, you know, Africa. He will go everywhere and do all the work. So in a way, we've, you know, we've been relaxing, you know. Okay, it comes to conference time. Okay, let's go and receive more from him. Let's go and receive more from him. And he has poured and poured and poured himself. Like the pastor said, he's, you know, created many, many miles. You know, he's created many. Meanwhile, he's just one person, you know, and the other mini-miles have been doing, kind of like sitting in the background, maybe doing their own little work, but just leaving him to do all that. Now, God has eventually taken him out of the picture. You know, it's like, you know, the Bible says that one can put to flight 1,000, two 10,000. So if he has influenced thousands and thousands of people, can you imagine if we step up to do what he has been doing? You know, indeed, we will see the gospel. Indeed, we will see the gospel reach the ends of the earth. If each and every one of us can step out and even just attempt to do the amount of work that Dr. Miles has done. So, that was my encouragement. You know, we know we're in the last days. We know the end is near. There is a lot of work to be done. You know, the laborers, in a way, are still few. So many people have to step up. Some have started the work. Some are doing a lot. Some are doing a bit. Some haven't even started. They've just been receiving, you know. But now I believe that God will quicken everyone. You know, so they know. We thank God for Dr. Miles' life. He's shown us what is possible. He's shown us what is possible. What is possible. We've seen him. We've seen his testimonies. We've seen how far he's reached. We can reach even further. I know my husband was saying earlier that, wow, he hasn't seen any man like him who can do the kind of work that he has done. And once he said it, my mind just went to Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was a powerful prophet, powerful, powerful, powerful. But then his servant got a double mantle.
Right.
You understand? He got a double mantle, so he was even able to do more than Elijah had done after learning from him, after sitting at his feet. So I believe, the same for us. We've learned so much. We've seen his life, you know. We've learned, you know. He's shown us what is possible. He's helped us to understand the teachings of the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, and obviously there's no way that the teaching of the kingdom will not be followed by power.
I was so touched. You know, he's such an encourager, Dr. Miles, because when he was speaking to Jeff Koinange, Koinange is a very successful journalist. Actually, I went to school in Nairobi, and the school Jeff went to was like our partner school. It was a very, very classy school for boys.
Okay.
And, so Jeff is like from a very well-to-do family, very successful. But there's something Dr. Miles said to him at the end of the interview. You know, he basically said, Jeff, don't be satisfied with where you are. Because Jeff has just written a new book, and everybody's talking about it. He said, listen, Jeff, I've written 100, so you have 99 more books to write. And he says, listen, this television program, don't confine it to Nairobi. It should be all over Africa,
yes.
all over Europe. Yes. And, you know, Jeff was laughing, saying, oh, but I'm already busy. I'm doing too much. But I love that challenge he gave him. Like, you know, yes,
yes.
you're successful. Yes, you're well-to-do. But, you know, the sky is the limit.
Yes.
Don't be content where you are.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sure now Jeff is realizing that was literally a prophecy, because now Daddy is in heaven.
Yes.
He has done his part. I mean, and he was such, my God, what a man of excellence he was. And I'm so glad that they decided to go on with the conference, because I know everything was in place. The delegates were there.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, of course, I know, you know, people are still very much in shock, but I love what they wrote on the website, that this is what Dr. Miles would have wanted.
Yeah.
So surely we are all challenged. You know, even though we may be doing very well, we can still do better.
Yeah.
You know, there are nations we need to touch. There's a generation. You know, the Bible says the whole world is groaning,
yeah.
waiting for the manifestation
Amen.
Of the sons and the daughters of God. So if there's a challenge our Papa has left us, we must rise to the occasion. You know, we must go above and beyond. We've got to go the extra mile. Jesus is coming, and on Judgment Day, you know, each of us are basically going to be alone, and
Amen.
The Lord is going to ask, what did you do with the skills, the talents, the opportunities, the education, the resources that I gave you? And we cannot give an excuse. You know, Dr. Miles has run the race, fought a good fight. You know, now he's in heaven, but it really, the baton has been passed on to us. Chico, is there any other caller before we wind up? I don't know if my sister, Dr. Patricia, is on.
Yes, we do have one caller, and this is an international number with an area code 44. Your
That's
phone number is 208, and your last four digits are 6229. You're welcome.
Yes, actually, it's Pastor Olu. I have an international number too. Hello?
Oh, that is who? Yes?
It's Pastor Olu. I have a UK line too.
Oh, you have a UK line. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that's okay.
Let me just share one scripture. You know, that was part of what came to me in the confusion and the hardship of trying to swallow this news and the struggle with God to submit that God, this is the way it must be. Because when the king decides, who are you to question the king? But, you know, in a human self, it was a struggle. I'll be very honest. I could not accept it. But in this scripture came, John chapter 12, 24, and Jesus said, very, 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 I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And this, I believe, is the situation here. If the corn, if it doesn't fall into the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, the Bible says, Jesus said, it brings forth much fruit. Now, alone, Dr. Miles, like my wife was saying, cannot be at many places at the same time. He was only one man. So, now that he has gone to be with the Lord, he has fallen to the ground and he has gone to be with the Lord. You notice I'm not using the word die, because I'm intentionally not using the word die. He didn't die, he just went to be with the Lord. But now that he has died, he's going to bring forth much fruit, which is exactly the same reason why our Lord Jesus Christ had to go just for 3 days. And when he resurrected, he brought forth much fruit. The gospel exploded all over the world. The Jews and the Pharisees could not stop it. When the Spirit of God dropped this scripture, John 24, it kind of comforted me. I said, okay, I mean, in a way, that makes sense. He's run the race. He's finished. He's given his life now can be poured out as a sacrifice, which in turn will cause an explosion in the body of Christ, because many, many miles will now pick up the baton and arise. from what is the seed, they were right and they were wrong with it. And the fruit will continue to multiply. And the powerful thing is, not only is it all only on this generation, it has even spilled over to the next generation, because our children now are talking kingdom. The kids are now talking kingdom, so it has spilled over into the next generation. And that is just so comforting.
Yes.
Okay. Prophetess, could I add something else? This is Olive.
Sure, woman of God, go right ahead.
Okay. The other thing, I guess, one we have all learned from him is planning and preparation.
Yes.
You know, so we usually think, or what we've been taught, maybe up to when we started to sit under Dr. Mao's teachings, is, oh, prepare for the day you die by making sure you know where you're going. But then there's more preparation than that. As he has taught us, we should prepare to die empty. So that means as we're alive, we should be emptying out ourselves, all those gifts, those talents, whatever it is, start to use them to bless the body of Christ, to bless people, to use them to bring more people into the kingdom.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, just prepare just generally for your exit. And, you know, there are some things that my mind went back to after he passed on Sunday. One of the things that we had noticed that had happened was both of his children now involved in the ministry with him. From the conference, the last conference in August, the Kingdom Conference, his children are the ones handling conferences, his daughter and his son. They're both handling the conference. So that was the first one. His son had been involved in terms of the fact that he's in charge of media, his son, from, you know, like even last year we saw that. But this year, they actually arranged the August conference, and Dr. Miles commended them at the end of the conference.
Wow.
You know, yes. So I think, you know, the ministry, Miles Monroe International, basically they are the ones. So for this one now, this present one, his son is the conference host.
Wow.
You know, they arranged it. That's why they were already in Freeport, you know, at the time that the crash happened. Maybe they'd gone the night before. So, you know, you understand. So basically, in a way, it's like he'd already prepared his children, you know, to take over or to be a part of what's happening when he leaves, you know. Yes, even though he was believing he would live till 90, but he was already prepared to leave when he left.
Right.
The other thing that he did, the other profound thing that he had done was on Easter Sunday, which was his 60th birthday, he appointed some new people as pastors. And one of the people that was appointed was actually appointed to take, I think, as a fellowship pastor. There's Pastor Richard Pinder, who was on the flight, who is Pastor Ruth's brother-in-law. So he was the fellowship pastor, the resident pastor when, you know, Dr. Miles travels around and all that. But on Easter Sunday, he appointed another pastor. You know, he said, you know, Pastor Richard now travels around a lot, is invited to speak in different countries and all that. So he appointed another fellowship pastor, so that with what has happened, they're not all running helter-skelter and scrambling, who will take over, there's already a pastor in place, as if he knew, you know, as if he knew. So, yeah, you know, obviously, I'm sure you would have heard his teachings about succession, you know, leaving a successor, you know, if you've done all the work and there's nobody to take over when you can't do the work anymore, then you failed, you know. So, you know, he has shown that, you know, even with his passing, the work can still go on. Nothing was interrupted.
Wow.
Not even the conference. Nothing was interrupted. You know.
That is. I'd really love us to continue this teaching on succession, because I think in our African community, it's such a, you know, there's sometimes that conflict between the spiritual fathers and sons.
Yes.
You know, you can see Dr. Miles, and also the topic on preparation, that is crucial, because I think a great leader is one who prepares others.
Amen. Amen.
You're not a great leader if you're doing everything and you're so insecure and you don't know how to delegate.
Yes.
So I think that's something really, I'd love to do a part two with you, woman of God, and Pastor Olu, if you're available next Tuesday.
Okay.
And because I know my sister, Dr. Pat, they had a prayer meeting, so probably because Dr. Jose is in Congo, she probably couldn't step away. So
she is on.
Able. Huh?
Oh, she was on?
Yeah,
oh,
she's on.
Dr.
Jose is on.
Oh, yeah, but because we want to hear more from her, and the program is just an hour, so it has, yes, we've actually gone over. They've just given us an hour.
Okay.
But Dr. Pat, welcome, woman of God.
Hello?
Yes, my dear sister. God bless you. Welcome.
God bless you. Thank you.
How are you doing? How's Dr. Jose doing?
He's doing well, and I'm doing well. We are blessed.
Okay. The Lord is strengthening you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much for introducing us to this wonderful couple, Pastor Olu and his wonderful wife. We have been so blessed. They have shared from their hearts the great impact Dr. Miles has had on lives.
Amen.
So that was such a gift. Now we do really have to end, and at least we thank God they've agreed to continue our next Tuesday. We want to really deal with the topics of succession and of preparation. Because, you know, we cannot live like we're going to be on the earth forever. Each of us are appointed to die at one point. And we see with Dr. Miles, I'm sure the conference didn't skip a beat because everything was in order and in place. And he has trained outstanding leaders. So, Dr. Pat, hope you'll be available next Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Pastor Nathan, I understand you had a quick comment. Pastor Nathan,
we are good, woman of God. You can conclude. It's just a part of Dr. Miles emphasizing God's original plan, where we bring heaven's culture in everything we do, business, education, ministry, and everything. You can see that he had an impact and influence in all spheres an aspect of life. Yeah, we can continue the discussion whenever we get another opportunity. Thank you, woman of God.
Okay, wonderful. So, listeners who've called in, please tell your friends. We're going to have a part two of this. This Dr. Miles Monroe and Mama Ruth were just outstanding, legendary in our generation. And I'm sure we could literally do 3 months and we still won't finish talking about the impact and all that they taught. But we want to have a part two next Tuesday. Dr. Patricia Muzingo will be on. Pastor Olu and his wonderful wife, the woman of God, Pastor Olive, they will be on. Myself, Pastor Nathan, and we just want to continue. We want to talk about succession and preparation and leadership. You know, he was so passionate about leadership. So do share. Make sure somebody calls in. Let's triple the number. We want to really reach out to as many. Thank you so much, Pastor Olu and Pastor Olive, for just sharing. Thank you, Dr. Pat, for introducing us to them.
Thank God. What a blessing.
What a joy and what a privilege. We've really been refreshed by all that you have shared, and listeners who've called in, I know you've been blessed this evening. So we are going to call it a night, but let's continue to pray for the children. I know I just cannot even imagine, you know, as much as they know their parents are in heaven, you know, it's, well, let's just pray for them. Let's pray for the church, the body of Christ in the Bahamas.
Amen.
You know, the whole nation is mourning. Jesus wept when Lazarus died, and you know, Israel mourned for 1 month. So it's okay to cry, but You know, we mourn with those who have a hope that
Amen.
We will meet again. So God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much.
You.
We appreciate you all. Have a great night.
Good night. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was his original idea. Secondly, God's original plan was to influence each one of us and everything on earth with heaven's culture, and to do it through his children. God's plan was also to establish a colony of heaven on earth. It's a very simple idea. So the Bible is really not about a religion. It's not about religion. It's not about rituals. The Bible is about a government policy. It's about a kingdom with a plan to establish its colony in another place. And finally, God's plan was to colonize earth with heaven, and therefore he wanted to fill the earth with his nature, his glory. That's God's plan. Now, with that in mind, I want to pick up where we left off last week. The divine purpose of God, therefore, is a very simple one, and that is to colonize the territory of earth with the nation of heaven. I said it this way because we need to be able to understand the concepts. Forgive me for using earthly terms, but heaven is a country. It's an invisible country, but it's more real than earth. Because the Bible says that the physical universe was created by the spiritual world. And the things that are spiritual are eternal, but the things that are physical are temporal. The earth is temporary, but heaven is eternal. So the heavenlies is a more permanent country than any country on the planet. All kingdoms desire to extend their influence. The Bahamas is a result of that. Cuba is a result of that. Haiti, Guadeloupe, Martinique is a result of a kingdom that wanted to extend its influence to another territory. Brazil